Hi, welcome to FemPower Health. This is Georgie. Today, I'm starting something new, and it's called the FemPower Health Digest. Over the years, I've had the incredible opportunity to sit down with leading experts in women's health, groundbreaking researchers, and inspiring figures to discuss, dissect, and dive deep into the myriad aspects of women's health. Given that I've had the opportunity to do this, plus I keep up with the latest women's news, trends, new products, and health tech that's coming out, plus I have a healthcare consulting background, and I've been in your shoes. I have endometriosis, and I had 4 years of unexplained infertility, which, well, was kind of explained by the endometriosis. So given this aspect, I thought, why not start talking about some of the themes that I'm seeing? Because let's face it, it's hard to keep track of it all. And quite honestly, I monitor it all the time and I even struggle to keep track of it all. So what I would love is take a listen and then please share your feedback. And I would love to, from time to time, come on in and talk about some of the things I'm seeing. So I thought a lot about how to start this. And one of the things that I fear right now in women's health, because women make so many of the decisions in their household, and with menopause, the data showing that because we are later in life, we tend to have more dollars. And so, and also every single woman is going to hit menopause at some point, and women make up half the population. So if you look at high income earners that make up half the population, and we're already making most of the healthcare decisions, holy cow, what a market opportunity. And so these are why you are seeing so many people trying to build products for women. And this is fabulous, but I think it's also making it a challenge for women to make decisions. Additionally, we have 10-minute doctor appointments, and it's really difficult to have lengthy conversations with our doctors about all the things we're hearing, whether it's from a social media influencer or something else that's being fed to us through social media or other outlets that we're reviewing. And of course, we also talk to our friends. And because of this, it's almost as if women's health is like shopping at the grocery store. You know how on the front, it has the beautiful marketing labels, and then you turn it around and you see all the terrible ingredients in these products. And I feel like that's what we need to do now with women's health is don't just look at the marketing, but go behind the, turn the package around, so to speak. And that's how you can make decisions. But I think because of where we are with women's health, I think it's really up to women to be proactive and to really monitor their bodies and to stand up for themselves when they're talking to their doctors. You know, some of the leading experts I'm speaking with, they say women are the experts on their body, we're the experts on the medicine. Now, given that there's still so much research that needs to be done in women's health, they can only keep up with the medicine that we have research for right now. I will say this is, you know, not perfect. Like many of you may have seen on social media, the very sad news that Jessica Pettway has passed away, and she was an influencer, and she had been going to the doctor due to heavy bleeding, and they originally said it was uterine fibroids, and the bleeding just would not stop. And eventually it was discovered that she had, I think it was stage 3 cervical cancer, and she has since passed away. Now, here is someone who did advocate and still did not get the care she deserves. She was an African-American woman, so that does not help, because there's a lot of data showing that minority populations are dismissed even more by their clinicians. So where are we today? So that's a lot of stuff, right? So here are some facts about where we are with women's health and why I work so hard to curate guests to talk about the latest research and trends that are happening in women's health. So yes, in 1993, the FDA finally mandated that women partake in clinical trials, but we have a long ways to go. And this month actually has been a huge month in women's health. So March 8th was International Women's Day. And because of that, I think a lot of people were working hard to announce amazing things for women. So President Biden has now allocated $12 billion in research funding and innovation, or I should say funding for research and innovation in women's health. $300 million of that, I should say, has been allocated for the NIH and a wonderful group called ARPA-H, and they are modeled after DARPA. And rather than being dictated by specific strategies such as the NIH, they're much more of an independent arm with a lot more capability to innovate because they're not as held down by a lot of the government bureaucracy, but they did get funding from the government. And what's, if you want, you can go to the FemPower Health newsletter, and in that area, I write a lot about what they're trying to invest in. What's also interesting is seeing what AI will do for women's health, because in the 4 years that I've done the podcast, now I'm in my fifth season, what's hard is it's not silos. We don't have PCOS or endometriosis or thyroid problems. And because of that, and the way research studies are done, which they have to enroll people in a clinical trial, have a hypothesis and prove it or disprove it. And, you know, it has to be very specific, right? And because there's been such limited research towards women's health, and quite frankly, a lot of the research that has been done has been on male figures. And even when, I should say male anatomy, male bodies, and even when research is done, like I know when I spoke with Dr. Jerry Lynn Pryor, she said, we don't even separate out in studies women who are on birth control versus not. And for those of you who may not understand the full importance, just to paint that picture. So back when Ambien came out, there were a lot of women, there were all these stories of women like getting in a car and driving and not remembering and doing all sorts of crazy things. And what they did when they did a sub-analysis of their trials is that women should be on a different dose than men. So this is a huge thing that we do need studies on. But what I'm really excited about is artificial intelligence, because I use it a lot, even for the podcast, just in all of FemPower Health, to make sure that I'm able to comb through data much more quickly. So I can only imagine, just imagine a scenario where you go into the clinician and all of your, you know, health information is put into a database, and they're able to mine all these women and combine the data points to be able to say, here's this trend. So when women come in with XYZ, they also happen to have these other three things. Now, fear not, everyone, because I know there's privacy data concerns. There are ways that all of these algorithms can work where it's, you know, using de-identified patient data. I am not an expert in how all things work with AI, but when I speak about these types of trends and assessing databases, that's more what I'm getting at, is the de-identified data, but being able to see whatever is being tracked. And honestly, my dream is there's all these wonderful health tech companies that are tracking data based on, you know, different things you're doing, whether it's you're using those hormone trackers or your mental health apps that you're tracking information. Just imagine if they're able to, using de-identified data, put all of that information together in some way to be able to see trends. And I would also love to see things like looking at all the research that has been done, the questions that we still don't have answers to in women's health, and then based on that, assessing where the research gaps are and prioritizing those. Because unfortunately, that's not how research decisions are made now. So someone in Australia could be doing a similar study to someone in another country. And because there's not all this, you know, ability to use technology to mine all of that, wouldn't it be so cool if we could be way more efficient? Because we women need it and deserve it. So I'm really excited about this funding, but it still will take time. And I really do hope that artificial intelligence will help speed things up. So another thing that I've uncovered in talking to companies and patients and others is this dynamic we have with our doctor appointments. So imagine, we have 10-minute appointments, and that's because it's capitalistic, unfortunately, and the best way for hospital systems to make money is to have more patients in a given hour, which is why we have these 10-minute appointments. Now, granted, you can make appointments for very specific things, but it has to be for one thing. So if you have many problems going on, you need to make multiple appointments. So your well visits are going to be longer, but these other visits are probably going to be shorter. Then what's happening is, because we're kind of in this situation where OBGYNs, they used to have an OB track and a GYN track. And now that got cut in half because now it's an OBGYN track. So what that means is they have less depth of knowledge in topics because now they have to know a little bit about everything. So unless they've gone to deeper training, getting fellowships, etc., they're in a really tough spot. So we have shorter appointments. We have clinicians that have a different degree of training than we had in the past. Oh yeah, and we have this gap in women's health research and knowledge. So I've heard from companies that they're even struggling to figure out how to get to these clinicians to share with them the latest, because we have a way clinicians have been trained. We have innovation that's happening that's still getting, you know, trying to get caught up with the way clinicians operate. And then we have women who are struggling to understand their body. So it basically becomes, I guess I can curse a little bit on the podcast, a big shit show. And so there are cases where you've got endocrinologists, you have minimally invasive surgeons, you have your OBGYN, and then within that, there's probably more and more subspecialists. And so I've heard companies that have these amazing products they're trying to market to women. And I think my favorite quote to really shed light on this is, we don't know which clinician owns this condition. By the way, I'll give you a concrete example of this. So I recently interviewed a clinician, the episode hasn't gone live yet, where we talked about ADHD in women. And there was an interesting discussion. The research has not fully been done yet, but you know, many of us are struggling with executive function and some have ADHD as well. And when we're in menopause, we've lost the estrogen, right? Our estrogen levels are virtually gone. And so a lot of us are taking menopause hormone therapy. And this doctor that I had, or this clinician that I'd spoken with, we spoke about the way our hormones work and the role that they play. And I asked her, like, wouldn't it be logical, instead of taking all these mental health products, that we could just take estrogen? And she says, again, the data's not there, but presumably it would be a good idea. So I went on a little journey, and this was a bit of fun. I wanted to go contact my OBGYN. So I've left her a message in my EMR, and let's see what she says about my taking estrogen, because I have terrible executive function issues and now I want to take the estrogen. So then I also called my psychiatrist, and even though she's a psychiatrist and this is about my executive function, she can't prescribe it because estrogen belongs to OBGYNs. So we'll see what my OBGYN says, because she may want me to go to a doctor appointment. So now I'm going to waste her time and my time talking about this, because we already have data from last year that it's okay for me to take estrogen because my tests for the endometrial biopsy were negative, and so I can take the estrogen. So then I thought, well, why don't I try telehealth? So I went into my health insurance company and I looked at the telehealth options. Guess what they're for? Primary care or mental health. And I've already had discussions with my primary care doctor during my last annual exam. And he said, well, actually, you have to go to your OBGYN. So I wonder if this is why a lot of these menopause telehealth companies have come about, because there is no other way to do telehealth. Or maybe my OBGYN just needs to offer telehealth. Who knows? Maybe that's the next thing we need to do. Although there are companies like Maven, but I don't have that coverage with my current insurance. So that's an interesting gap. All to say, women's health is so fascinating. I think about it all the time. I love doing the research. I love talking to people. More importantly, I want to hear from you. Remember, because I have a healthcare background, I've interviewed these experts, I'm constantly doing research. I will fully admit that I've kind of lost sight on what it's like to come, you know, to start from scratch and be a woman who's like, I don't really know what's wrong with me. What in the world do I do? And by the way, you just heard my story and I know how the healthcare system works and there are aspects I still don't understand. So what I would love to do is hear from all the different women who are struggling with various questions, various healthcare issues, and please contact me. I genuinely mean it, because that is how I can curate information for you on the podcast, how when I do these FemPower Health Digests, I can best answer your questions. Remember, knowledge is power, especially when it comes to our health. And if you've enjoyed this segment, please let us know by leaving a review and sending us a message or sharing this episode with a friend. Your support means the world to us, and it helps continue to bring you the latest and greatest in women's health. And that wraps up another empowering session here at the FemPower Health Podcast. Now, before you dash off, I've got a quick, exciting invitation for you. Please join our vibrant community by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, because it's really your frontline update on groundbreaking women's health research, the latest health-enhancing products, fun quizzes to boost your health IQ, and unique discoveries that you won't want to miss. All of this delivered straight to your inbox, cutting through the noise of social media algorithms. Love today's insights? Show your support by rating and reviewing our podcast. Your feedback is more than just a pat on our backs here at FemPower Health. It lights the way for others seeking guidance and community in their health journey, amplifying the voices that need to be heard. And for a deeper dive into today's topics, check out the show notes and explore our website at fempower-health.com. Our site is a treasure trove of knowledge, neatly categorized by topics of interest and lifestyle, ensuring you find exactly what you need to empower your health journey. And your voice matters to us deeply. Whether you have a question, a story to share, or feedback on our episodes, reach out directly at info@fempower-health.com, drop us a message on social media, or hit reply on any newsletter. Your insights inspire our conversations. And a quick note, the knowledge we share is here to embolden you in discussions with your healthcare provider. It's not medical advice. Always consult with your doctor for health decisions. And remember, the diverse perspectives of our guests reflect their individual journeys, and it's not an endorsement by FemPower Health. Here's to empowering your health journey one episode at a time, and I'll see you on the next FemPower Health podcast episode.